This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:47 in the evening and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And our next story is about poverty. Now, not poverty in our country, but this is coming out of Britain. I think there are interesting parallels, though. So the Joseph Rowntree Foundation has basically said that while unemployment is at its lowest in 45 years, poverty in Britain has risen. And so the argument here is that it would seem that one doesn't negate the other. So although employment has increased, in-work poverty has gone up because it's people's pay, hours or both not being enough.
So this is their State of the Nation report on poverty in the UK. Also found they found that poverty had risen for children and pensioners over the last 5 years. And in total, 14 million people in the UK were living in poverty. So they added that a single person or family were deemed to be in poverty should they have an income that is less than 60% of their family types median earnings after housing costs such as rent.
And this, I think, is something that I don't know about everyone else, but for me, I didn't necessarily immediately understand that link, right? Because it would seem that every time we talk about cost of living, or for that matter, issues surrounding employment, the assumption is that the minute unemployment goes down, you should see poverty rates going down as well, because people are earning money. But I wonder how much of this has to do in any way with something like the gig economy, where you are seeing people depend on work for an hourly basis, on an uncertain basis. There is no steady wage, for example, so you don't know on any given day how much you might earn and how many hours you can get out of that job. So perhaps just it's part of the nature of what it means to be in employment changing as well.
Yeah, I think it's coming. This article also just looking at it from a local context with regards to the gig economy. Sure, you know, we maybe solve the problem of unemployment, but is it good employment? And that conversation has to extend, right, to not just holding jobs, but with just one job, are you able to have a good quality life? Because right now, it seems as if income has stagnated, you're not earning enough, things are getting more expensive. And just holding one job doesn't seem to give you that quality of life. Of course, the common argument is, well, why don't you just get another job? But I think the goal we should be aspiring to is that one job should be enough to give you enough.
So if you'd like to weigh in, you can. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, on the line with us is Dr. Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute. Hock An, thank you so much for joining us. Now, oftentimes, we see a lot of focus on reducing unemployment rates in a country, like we spoke about. But is it actually a reliable indicator of the economy and standards of living?
I mean, unemployment is still a very useful indicator, and I think it's something that we, you know, it's necessary to keep track of. It gives a good indication of the health of the economy and the vitality of the labor market at a basic level. But you know, I think it's still a good, definitely a good place to start to get a sense of what the labor market situation is like. But it, you know, there's still also, but there's still a lot of information that is omitted in the unemployment rate. I mean, it is, you know, strictly speaking, a very simple piece of information, which is the number of unemployed divided by the labor force. And so it's firstly only indicating whether someone has a job or not, not really the quality or the amount of work. So one thing that's omitted is the issue of underemployment. Unemployment does not differentiate, you know, whether you're working full-time, part-time, and whether you're getting enough work, or if for people who actually want to work more. So that's where underemployment, which would break down, you know, or look closer at the number of hours people are working, especially if for those who want to work more. And then employment, there's another technicality here, which is that the labor force, so unemployment again is the unemployed divided by the labor force, and the labor force includes only those who are working or who are looking for work but do not have a job. Now there's a problem of what is called discouraged workers, where people drop out from the labor force. They are not participating anymore. And that actually has the effect of reducing the unemployment rate. So actually, it would be a bit misleading in those situations. Unemployment is lower, which is regarded as good. But then there could be the issue of discouraged workers, people who are not even looking for work anymore. And also, I mean, I think just to follow up, just now we talked about underemployment, beyond just holding a job, there's also wages and work conditions. So unemployment also does not inform those questions. So again, it's limited, but still very useful as a starting point and just a macro picture.
Are we seeing a similar situation here in Malaysia where a low unemployment rate doesn't necessarily indicate that everything's hunky-dory for the people when it comes to standard of living?
Yes, I mean, Malaysia, has consistently registered lowish unemployment rates and underemployment as well, sort of just technically by the official definition of 30 hours per week. So those who are working 30 hours or less, it's also quite low, and both are around, close to 3%, between 2 and 3%. But there is this very widespread discontent about living conditions, about work conditions, about wage levels. So, yeah, there is something I think it's not really very well researched, and we don't have a very, very firm handle about the situation. But we can, anecdotally, it's just widespread stories about, people are working, but not getting enough. And I think if we look at, just wage data as well, it's sort of suggesting, right, that there's very slow wage growth, especially for younger workers.
So one way that we're trying to fight unemployment here is by developing the gig economy and also attracting companies that provide these sorts of jobs. Could the gig economy improve standards of living?
Yeah, well, about the gig economy, I mean, there's, technological transformations happening in economies globally, and we have to move with that to a significant extent. That's where jobs are being generated, and that's where the services are being produced, and the means to which a lot of retail and distribution happens. So yeah, I mean, we have to move with those times, but at the same time, to be very mindful and be committed. And put into practice other principles and objectives surrounding work security, surrounding welfare, and especially regarding social protection. So, gig economy can be very responsive, right, and flexible, but also it can transfer a lot of the risks onto the workers who have less protection. So that needs to be addressed quite seriously.
From your perspective as an economist, how would you define what a good job or employment is?
A good job? One that pays well. one in which there are, fair and reasonable work conditions and protection, where workers are, their rights are, respected. And I think we got to go beyond as well. I mean, those are sort of more minimal conditions in terms of, the labor protections and so on. To talk also about the kind of transitions that the economy needs to make, which is towards towards work and workplaces, that are operate more on the basis of increasing productivity in generating teamwork and team spirit, and where workers have a greater sense of ownership over their work, where there's a sense of belonging and therefore, you know, a bit more of a loyalty to companies in which they will stay longer, and therefore companies will also, you know, it's a better situation for training and acquiring knowledge that can be applied, right, to the company. So there's, I think, a lot of other aspects as well related to human resource management, related to work environments in Malaysia, I think, that need to address. But not forgetting, I think, still the basics on some of like work protections, legal protection, I think that also need to be addressed.
So we always seem to focus in this country on generating jobs. Do you think that enough focus is also placed on ensuring that the quality of these jobs are good as well?
Yeah, I think there are immediate issues and near-term, you know, solutions. So you take minimum wage when we talk about that. You know, it's reference to a certain target of, well, the promise of 1,500 in before the next general election. But, you know, within that, though, I think the important discussion also needs to take place not just in the hourly, not just the monthly minimum wage, but hourly minimum wage, right? And raising that and making, you know, as a basis for the adjustments that can take place. But those kind of conversations that I don't really see them taking place yet. We're sort of more consumed with some of the pressing and immediate issues related to, you know, generating jobs, more quantity than quality. But I think there are efforts and some momentum as well in the direction of quality. And certainly, I think, you know, there's commitment and that's a policy priority. But it will really take a lot more of a concerted and holistic and comprehensive effort, which I don't really see coming yet.
Hock An, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute. Do you think that we're putting enough effort into creating good jobs in our country, not just jobs? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.